You know what we need? We need a radio show on the air, like maybe on Saturday nights, that talks about this kind of thing.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman here. I want to let my listeners know about a brilliant Renaissance man named Dr. Arthur Perry.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry? The best in plastic surgery.
He's a distinguished, award-winning cosmetic surgeon trained at Harvard and Cornell with a practice in New York City on Fifth Avenue.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
He's written numerous medical journal articles, and he's contributed to textbooks on plastic surgery.
Your remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
It's clear that when it comes to skin and aging, this doctor knows what he's talking about.
Joan, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. What a beautiful weekend it's turned out to be after that monsoon we had and the tornadoes in Queens. Sure, it's unusual weather, but it's beautiful right now. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon and host of What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. This is a call-in show if you've never listened before. It is live in New York, and you can become part of the show by giving me a call, 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. It's a free phone call. Not only is it a free phone call, but you'll walk away with a bottle of Nighttime. Nighttime is my version of excellent skincare, and it really is excellent. Those of you who have used it, the thousands and thousands of people who are using Nighttime, thank you very much. You know what it's all about. It's a light serum. It's got vitamin A, vitamin C, fruit acids, antioxidants, skin brighteners, licorice extract, milk thistle, everything in one. It was actually quite a challenge from a chemical standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint, to put this all in one serum. But I don't like to fragment skincare. That's the word that I use. You know, if you walk into those stores, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're not going to find things like I have because, you know, that's very defeating to a company to only sell you one product. They want to sell you, you know, one of these and one of these and one of those. And you'll walk out of that store with a whole bag and your wallet will be empty. Your bag will be full. And after a few weeks, you will not be able to sustain the demands of this regimen that they want you to be on because it's unsustainable for almost anyone, including celebrities. So I designed a one-step process, and it really is. You wash your face at night and put Nighttime on, and you've got all the things that are scientifically proven to make a difference. In the morning, yes, you want to protect your skin with what I call daytime, which is basically an SPF 20 sunscreen with zinc oxide and niacin, which is really good for your skin. So give us a call tonight, and you will come away with a bottle of Nighttime. But you need to give me a good question, by the way. You can't just call in and say, send me the Nighttime. You have to have a good question for me. All right, tonight I've got a lot of different things to talk about. We are going to talk about the carbon dioxide laser for the face. And it's sort of a new topic, but not so new after all. We're going to talk all about rejuvenation with the carbon dioxide, the CO2 laser. And I want you all to know that if you've been listening to this show for the last couple years, you are way ahead of the game because this week there was an announcement by the FDA, which was really amazing. And maybe we'll start with that. So vaginal rejuvenation, oh my goodness, right? That is something else. It is something that is designed to tighten the vagina after pregnancy. And it's very, very popular now. There are many companies that have designed these machines, lasers, radio frequency. They all basically emit an energy which causes the mucosa, which is the skin inside the vagina, to shrink a little bit. That's the design. So it's vaginal rejuvenation. Now, the companies have approached plastic surgeons. I've been approached, I can't tell you how many times, to offer this to my patients. And I have said, what on earth is a plastic surgeon doing vaginal rejuvenation? If anyone, it would be a gynecologist, don't you think so? You know, we have no business doing that. The last time I did a pelvic exam was probably as an intern. Last time I delivered babies, that's probably when I was an intern. I have no business doing that. I know my limitations, and I know the limitations of other plastic surgeons. But that does not stop the companies from trying to get people like me and other doctors to use their machines. I actually stood up at the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons at our meeting last June, a year ago June, so I guess it was about 14 months ago, during a session on hot topics in cosmetic surgery, and they talked about vaginal rejuvenation. And I stood up and I said, you know what? This is not something that plastic surgeons should be doing. This is not something that we are competent to do if it's a good procedure at all. Well, lo and behold, yesterday, the FDA issued a statement and a warning. And boy, I'll tell you, it's very prescient as far as I'm concerned. They warned against the use of these devices for vaginal rejuvenation. And they sent this out to plastic surgeons. They sent it out to gynecologists and other physicians and put it out there. I don't know if it hit the newspapers yet, but it sure will. So here it is. They said that these energy-based devices, either radio frequency, and that's electric current, or lasers, none of them are FDA approved for these indications for vaginal rejuvenation. They're only approved for things like removing precancerous cervical things, lesions, warts, vaginal tissue, like genital warts, things like that. That's what they're approved for. But that has not stopped the half a dozen or so companies who make these machines from advertising this and selling these machines to plastic surgeons and gynecologists and pretty much anyone who has a medical license and $100,000 to go out and do these procedures. So the FDA said stop, cease and desist immediately. This is really interesting. They've already gotten lots and lots of complaints from there are symptoms of painful intercourse, scarring, and pain during urination, dryness, atrophy, laxity, all sorts of problems have been coming forth. And I will bet you, if you wait about 2 weeks, you'll see those advertisements on television by the ambulance-chasing attorneys that say, have you had a vaginal tightening procedure? Well, give us a call, because if you don't have your problem yet, you're going to have the problem. You know, I'm not in favor of those things. I don't think they're a good idea. But I'll tell you something. This was not a smart idea for plastic surgeons to be doing these procedures. I know that I won't be making friends in my community by saying some of these things. But as you know, if you've listened to me for the last 13 years, if you have read my book, Straight Talk About Cosmetic Surgery, you know that I call it as I see it, and I'm a straight shooter. And I think these procedures by plastic surgeons are plain stupid. If they're appropriate, they should be done by gynecologists, but it looks like to the FDA, they're not even appropriate for gynecologists. So beware, cancel your appointment. Do not have these procedures if you're going to have them. And in fact, it'll be interesting to see what plastic surgeons do. The ones that have purchased these machines, are they going to continue doing this despite the FDA warning, or will they stop? We will find out. All right, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. The phone number here at WABC is 800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Give me a call, and let's talk about cosmetic surgery. But before that, I want to mention Plexaderm. Plexaderm is a product. I've been talking about it for the last 3 weeks. You have seen the commercials on television. They are the best commercials I've seen. They really are. They're almost as good as the Geico commercials, right? I mean, they are good. My good friend John Greenhut's company, John and I were together for Night Skin. A lot of you use Night Skin, and now I have my own company, which produces Nighttime, different product from Night Skin. But John has Plexaderm, and I asked John, probably about 6 months ago, John, send me a bottle. I'm going to try it out on my wife. And John sent me a bottle, and it works. It works. It actually decreases the appearance of wrinkles, and it does it. It's not skincare. And a lot of my patients have asked me over the last couple of weeks, since they've heard me talking about this on the radio, you know, what does this do for your skin? It's more like a cosmetic. So you put it on your skin, and when you wash it off, you're exactly back where you were before. It is a silicone type of material. I guess they call it a clay, but if you really look into the chemistry, it's more like a silicone. And you put it on your skin, and in a few minutes, it kind of tightens as it dries, and your wrinkles look better. It can be used underneath your eyes for the eyelid bags. The current commercial shows someone with forehead wrinkles disappearing. It's really pretty impressive, I have to say. So if you are interested in using Plexaderm, John gave me an 800 number to announce on the air, and if you call this 800 number, then you're going to get 50% off. It's half price on this Plexaderm. It's really pretty cool stuff. And again, it's not skincare. It's not nighttime. Nighttime will work on your skin over months and months and make you look better and better and better. This is the Cinderella product, which you put on your skin, and when you wash it off, you're right back to where you were before. But it's really good. So the 800 number, 800-925-9963. That's 800-925-9963. You have to use that phone number. If you call one of the other numbers, they're not going to give you the half-price special. So 800-925-9963. That's for Plexaderm. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle? Right here on WABC. And tonight we're going to be talking about your wrinkles. Yeah, that's the name of the program, right? We're going to talk about wrinkles. We're going to talk about skin rejuvenation. And in particular, we're going to talk about the CO2 laser, the carbon dioxide laser. So before the break, let's just tell you a little bit about the laser. And then we've got an interview when we come back from the break. And the whole second half of the show, it's going to be all about facial rejuvenation with lasers. So tune in and give me a call, 800-848-9222. So what about these lasers? What is a laser? Well, a laser is a machine that generates one wavelength of light. I don't want to bore you with a lot of physics, but light has a lot of colors. Just look out. I'm looking out the window now. I don't think there's a rainbow today. I think we had one yesterday. But what that is the light is broken up into its constituent colors. There's lots and lots of colors. The fancy physics term for a color is wavelength. So we take just the wavelength of water for a CO2 laser, and the laser aims at water and vaporizes it. That's what it does. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more about the laser, more about what it can do for you, and why you will look better after having a laser procedure. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And what is your wrinkle? I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon and host of this show for quite a while. If you're just listening for the very first time, where have you been? I've been doing this Saturday evenings since 2005, believe it or not. It's a long time already, 13 years of this show, and I love doing radio. In fact, that was a return to radio. I was the morning guy at Rutgers in the 1970s. I had a program in the morning, did the news, and a program called Science News Front. That was a lot of fun, and now I'm back on the radio, and lots of fun for me. All right, so tonight we're talking about the carbon dioxide laser. So it is a laser that specifically hits the wavelength of water. Everything has a color. You know, blood has a particular color of red. Your skin has... Okay, the skin has a particular wavelength because the skin has a high water content. So when we aim at the skin, we are able to actually vaporize the skin with the laser. And that's the idea behind the laser. And you say, why would we want to vaporize the skin? Well, certainly if you've got a thing on your skin, like a keratosis, you know, the seborrheic keratosis, we might want to vaporize it and blast it away. But also it turns out that when we heat up the skin, we shrink it and we cause the generation of collagen. And that is a good thing because in a controlled way, we can actually make you look younger with the use of these lasers. So we're going to break for a moment and talk to Dr. I believe your name is Michelle Cahela. Did I pronounce your name right, sir?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, good. And Dr. Cahela is a gastroenterologist from Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. Now, we're going to talk about GI problems tonight with the stomach and the digestive system. And there's many, many problems that gastroenterologists deal with, gallstones, cancers of the GI tract. And in many cases, they use a technique called endoscopy, and I'll bet you most of you listening to this show have had one form of endoscopy or another, like a colonoscopy. Well, Dr. Michelle Cahela is the head of the Advanced Endoscopy Program at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital and at the medical school, Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson. So he's a professor of medicine. He's the clinical director of GI, the chief of endoscopy, and the director of the pancreas program at Rutgers. So I want to thank you very much for, I know you're in Chicago this evening. Thanks so much for taking time on your Saturday evening.
My pleasure. It's great to be with you guys.
All right. Well, you got lots of listeners from Maine to Virginia. So let's start with, why don't you just explain, what is endoscopy? What is it? Why is it important to diagnose and treat GI and digestive tract issues?
Yeah. So endoscopy is really a non-surgical procedure in which we use an endoscope, which is a flexible tube that has a light and a camera on it that allow us to go inside the mouth and then look inside the GI tract, you know, without making any opening, and allow us to literally look at the esophagus, the stomach, the intestine. And then there is a specific form that allows us also, if you go from the other route, to look at the rectum and the large intestine. And then there's a new way to actually explore the pancreas and the bile ducts by injecting contrast and getting some X-ray. We can actually literally do procedure on the bile duct and the pancreas as well. And the final form of endoscopy is endoscopic ultrasound, where we combine ultrasound with the endoscope to look through the wall of the GI tract. So really now endoscopy allows us to explore many, many things really inside the body of the human being.
You know, and a lot of people don't appreciate just how important endoscopy with these flexible tubes is. You know, just 30 or so years ago, we didn't have this technology, right? We had these rigid things. You could look about 8 inches into the rectum, rigid endoscopy looking down your esophagus, but it was very, very limited compared to now. Isn't that true?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it used to be a field where we could only make diagnostic. And then slowly but surely we went from making diagnostic to offer treatments. And that is a major shift in the whole paradigm. It's shift so big that we have replaced some of the surgery being performed, which is really amazing.
And it is, you know, I'm a surgeon. All surgeons love to operate. But truly, from a medical standpoint, if we can get, if a person can have an endoscopic procedure by you and walk off the table a half hour after the procedure and go home instead of being in the intensive care unit for 3 days, that's a pretty remarkable thing. So, you know, I'm very happy to talk to you about endoscopy. So let's talk about who typically would have an endoscopy.
So people that need to have endoscopy are people that have like stomach pain, ulcer, inflammation of the stomach, issues swallowing, bleeding, people that have change in bowel habits, like they have constipation or diarrhea, and people that have polyps or history of polyp in their family or growth in the colon.
All right. And then so now you as an endoscopist, as a gastroenterologist, would visualize down all the way, I guess the entire gastrointestinal tract now can be visualized, correct?
Absolutely. Not only the small intestine, the large intestine, but also we can also look at the pancreas and the bile duct also. So for people that have a stone or a blockage into the bile duct or the pancreas, there's something we can now fix endoscopically.
So now you have established a brand new program at Robert Wood Johnson, which is in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Tell us a little bit about this endoscopy program. Tell us about the team that you have brought to Robert Wood Johnson.
Yeah. So my aim when I came was to offer all the novel treatment that were not available. And really there's three things that now endoscopy has been really on the forefront. The first one is bariatric endoscopy, so the ability to offer technique to lose weight. The second one is to offer endoscopic surgery, like when there's like a small cancer or small lesion that can be removed endoscopically instead of surgery. And finally, anything that is therapeutic echoendoscopy, if you have like a big cyst or a big abscess next to the stomach, for instance, we can now drain that completely from the inside. And those are really the three main focus of any novel advanced program currently.
Okay, so you know, everybody knows about colonoscopies, and pretty much anyone over what age do you recommend now? Is it 50 to have a colonoscopy?
Right. I mean, once you hit 50, you need to get your colonoscopy. Absolutely, this is a life-saving intervention. Absolutely.
All right, and that's a fairly basic endoscopic procedure for you. But I'm going to pull out of the list. I know that you do so many different procedures. It's really fascinating to see. You know, I've looked into the list of different things. What kind of laser treatments are you doing with an endoscope?
So we can actually treat laser stone disease, like big stone that in the past we used to send for surgery. We can now, with the scope, advance all the way into the buttock, phase the stone, and then vaporize it with laser.
That is amazing. It really is quite amazing. You know, it's truly space-age technology. And by the way, my guest tonight is Dr. Michelle Cahala, who is a gastroenterologist, a chief of GI at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital at the Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. And it is a pleasure to be able to speak to you about these things. You know, I've followed the advances in endoscopy over the last few years, and it really is a quite an amazing field. I mean, you really, we talked to you as a internist and as a gastroenterologist, but you're really a surgeon now when you do these procedures, aren't you? You kind of are.
I got to say, I think it's a compliment. But to be really honest, we also have been very lucky. The technology has dramatically changed in 10 years. You know, the instrument that I was using when I was in training have nothing to do with the instrument that we have right now. So industry have played a major part in advancing the technology.
Okay, so now let's talk about something really unusual. And listeners out there, if you are interested, you go to the Robert Wood Johnson website, and it's rwjbh.org, and you can learn more about this. But let's talk a little bit about pancreatic procedures with the endoscope.
Correct. So one of the biggest problems with people that have very severe pancreatitis, they develop a big abscess around the pancreas. In the past, those big abscesses, they need to be drained by surgery or radiology, and that was extremely painful for the patient because they have tubes that go through their skin and they have pain and then get infected. Nowadays, all those abscesses can be entirely drained from the inside. We create a window through the stomach using a specific stent that is called lumen-apposing stent because it opposes the abscess to the wall of the stomach. And then we have a window to literally aspirate and clean those infections without having to open the patient anymore.
Very, very fascinating. You're also doing something called POEM, P-O-E-M, which stands for, go ahead, tell us what that is with the esophagus.
So this is peroral endoscopic myotomy. It is a procedure that is now slowly but surely becoming an equivalent to the helmyotomy. Achalasia is a disease that actually creates a trouble for the people to swallow. The esophagus is not pushing the food anymore down, and the junction between the esophagus and the stomach is completely closed. Hence, nowadays, with the scope, we create a tunnel in the wall of the esophagus, cross into the stomach, and then go back up into the tunnel safely without creating any perforation and open the blockage. And
you know, all you have to do... Dr. Cahala, you do so many interesting things. We're going to have you back on, but our time is, we're going to be pulled away in just a few seconds. Dr. Michelle Cahala from the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital, I want to thank you very much for taking your Saturday evening with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
All right. And we'll be back after these words. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. 800-848-9222. Stay tuned. There's another half hour.
What's your wrinkle?
I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, and this is the show about you. It's the show about your wrinkles and your splotchy pigmentation, your small little tiny lips, or your very big nose, or your ears that protrude. And, you know, we do otoplasties, which are ear setback operations, in adults as well as children. This is a show about that and the show about tummy tucks and breast augmentations. This is the show that you can call and ask a question. So if you're going to the plastic surgeon this Wednesday and you just don't know what to ask him or her, give me a call. We'll talk about it and we'll prep you for your consultation. Or if you're going to have surgery this week and you're really not sure whether it's the right thing, give me a call. We can discuss it. I certainly can't give you individualized advice because we're on the radio here and you're not in my office as a patient. But we can talk and perhaps we can steer you the right way. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon, trained at some pretty good places, that little place in Boston called Harvard and Cornell and the University of Chicago. I'm on the faculty of Columbia and Rutgers Medical School. And I've written a few books, and that's who I am, and I'm more than happy to answer your questions. 1-800-848-9222, 800-848-WABC. Give me a call. All right, we were talking about the laser and the carbon dioxide laser in particular. You know, I have many lasers in my office. I've got a whole laser center. I've been using lasers since 1981 when I was an intern at Harvard Medical School. It was one of the birthplaces of the laser for skin uses. They were, I believe, developed for military applications before that and industrial applications. But they started in the 80s, end of the 70s, 80s for cosmetic surgery applications. We can use lasers for all sorts of things. I can use lasers to decrease red pigmentation. So if you've got those, you ready for this? Senile angiomas? Oh, many of you have those. In fact, most of us have those things. They're those cherry red things that grow on your scalp or your face or behind your ear or on your arms. And they're really very annoying, and they're just a collection of blood vessels. So they are so easily zapped with the laser. And by the way, I use the laser where it is unique. I do not use the laser to do surgery. So, you know, there was a time during the 1980s when the carbon dioxide laser, which can cut like a knife, when that was used for almost every surgical procedure, and I trained during that era, and everybody was trying, okay, let's do a blepharoplasty, that's an eyelid lift with the laser, or let's do a breast augmentation with the laser. And, you know, it turns out that for most open surgery, real surgery, where we have to make an incision and dissect tissue, the laser is actually not as efficient as the traditional instruments, which are called scalpels and scissors and things of that nature. And the laser actually can slow things down. The operations can be even bloodier with the laser. So, you know, we don't want to get caught up in using the laser for things just to say that we use a laser. But I use the laser where it is unique. So where is it unique? It's the best thing for those red marks, capillaries on the face, but not the best for capillaries on your legs. Those I inject with a strong saltwater solution. Why is that? It's more effective to inject the capillaries on the legs. But on the face, it's more effective to use the laser. We can't really inject those on the face. So they're different. They're different uses. And I want to use the laser where it is unique, where it is the best technology. So certainly for red marks, absolutely, the laser works very well. For hair removal, well, it has absolutely replaced electrolysis or any other method of hair removal. The laser is simply the best way. But the laser will only destroy black or dark brown hair. It's not going to help you if your hair is white or blonde, unfortunately. So there, you still need those other techniques. Yes, that antiquated technique of electrolysis is still useful for blonde or white hairs. Or you just, you know, wax the hairs or whatever it is. Use Nair, something like that. Oh, people don't like Nair because it's an irritant to the skin. But certainly it's an effective way of getting rid of hair. So the laser is the best way to get rid of hair. The laser is the best way to get rid of red marks. It is the best way to get rid of tattoos. And there are different colors of tattoos, as you know. If you're going to get a tattoo, if you're not sure whether or not you're going to get one that's black or dark dark blue, because those are the most easily removed tattoos with the laser. The next best color is red. But if you get an orange or a yellow or a turquoise tattoo, those are very difficult to get off. And in fact, 90% of the plastic surgeons and dermatologists that remove tattoos, like I do, have lasers that will get the reds, the black, the dark blues, but we don't have those lasers that can really easily get the turquoise or the yellow or the orange. And there are really only a few doctors that have those lasers. And the reason is those lasers are an individual color. This laser costs like $150,000 or $200,000, and the demand is just not there for those particular colors. Most people have the other colors that are easily removed by standard tattoo removing lasers, and that's what I have. So if you've got an orange one, I can't help you. I'm sorry. Anyway, the laser is absolutely the best way, but I still remove lasers sometimes by cutting them out if they're small. So if you get these little things on your fingers or behind your ear and you don't want to go through the 6 to 9 or even longer number of procedures that unfortunately do cost a little bit of money to remove. Sometimes it's just easier to numb it up and remove the laser. And by the way, if you've got, rather remove the tattoo, not remove the laser. If you do have a tattoo, what we do in my office is, it's very difficult to tell you how many sessions it's going to be or even the cost until you come in for a consultation. But a lot of people don't want to waste their time, coming in only to find out that it's prohibitive. So if you send in a photograph to my secure email, realizing that your email is probably not secure, and if it gets hacked, someone can see your tattoo, but then again, it's on your skin anyway. But certainly you could send it in to our office. My email is md@drperrys.com. That's spelled out, drperrys.com. And if you send in a picture, and we ask you to take a picture of your whole body so we can see really how big the tattoo is in relationship to your body, and then a close-up of the tattoo. And then my nurse can give you some idea of how many sessions it'll take, if it's possible at all, and an approximation of the cost, because it's only fair to you. You don't want to go in for a consultation, spend money for a consultation, only to find out that it's just not something that's possible. So the laser is really good for tattoos. It's really good for the red marks. It's really good for hair removal. The intense pulse light is very good for acne, but it's not adolescent acne. I don't do that in my practice. Dermatologists do. But if you're 35 years old and you have a few pimples and you're in the office for something else, the intense pulse light, when we zap it, it's a blue light. It really will dry up those pimples very, very rapidly. So it's kind of a nice way to go. But there's other ways also to deal with pimples. And it is the dermatologist that is the king or queen of acne, not the plastic surgeon. I get involved in acne most of the time after the fact, when it's quiet and there's some scarring from the acne. And that's where a plastic surgeon usually comes in, where I will excise the scars if they're deep, if they're those ice pick type scars, and fill the scars with Restylane or something like that if they're the more superficial ones. And by the way, some of my happiest patients are women who have had acne scars and they've gone through. I have one woman, she had a facelift, she had laser, she had dermabrasion, and all those techniques can only help just a little bit. And it wasn't until Restylane came in 2003, and she came into my office shortly thereafter, and the change is so dramatic by filling those scars, and chickenpox scars also, by the way, with Restylane. It's really very dramatic, and we can do that in a session in an hour, and you walk out and say, wow. I mean, really, that's one of the procedures that you do say wow when you have filler, whether it's for scars or wrinkles or to make your lips bigger. This week I made a chin bigger. I did a chin augmentation with Radius, another great use of filler. This particular person was thinking, well, should she have a chin implant? Or maybe she, is there anything else I can do? And there is now. There's the non-invasive chin augmentation with Radius. And sometimes it's even permanent. We can't promise that, but sometimes it's permanent. The reason it's permanent, it can be permanent with Radius, is because Radius is a different type of filler than the hyaluronic acid fillers, like Restylane and Juvederm. Radius is calcium hydroxylapatite. And those of you who know about these things know, well, isn't that the building block of bone? And it is. It really is. And so when this material touches bone, it gets populated by the bone cells. It's really pretty cool, and actually forms bone. If it doesn't touch bone, then it gradually goes away and kind of is a hard gel material. And Radius is a harder material than Restylane, for instance, which is hyaluronic acid. So we have all these different fillers and all these new things we do in plastic surgery, just like the endoscopists do, but very different. But medicine marches on, and we have all these things. So somehow we rambled from the lasers all the way to filler. When we return from our break, we've got to get back on topic and talk about those carbon dioxide lasers. I love talking about these things. And those of you who are my patients know we have these open-ended hour. And sometimes I did a consultation this week. It lasted 2 hours. My nurse is looking at me. How long are you going to spend with her? We talked about all sorts of things, but that's how it is. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry, 800-848-9222. We will be back after these words.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's Your Wrinkle?
And we're back. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WABC. Phone number 800-848-9222. And I was told that I never gave out the phone number for you to call if you're interested in our special for the week, which is, you ready for this one? 3 bottles of nighttime for $100. And you all are saying, why are we giving away nighttime now? It normally is $65. And I mentioned this past weeks. We've redesigned the packaging. You know, I have a partner from Los Angeles now and a whole team of people, and they think that my packaging should look a little bit different. So we're starting to transition it. So the first product that's changing, and it won't be at its final for a few months, is the nighttime. Oh, I have to take the plant off. You know, I have a picture of thyme, but apparently some of you like my thyme and some don't. I'm talking about the picture. The product's great, but we're changing the packaging. So we have a shipment of a huge shipment of nighttime coming in just a couple weeks. So we're trying to move the rest of the nighttime, and that's why it's perfectly good. And this is your opportunity to get 3 bottles of nighttime for $100, and shipping's free. You have to use the NIGHT100 code. So 3 bottles, it's $100. That's $30-something, $33 a month. That's incredible. This is the best skincare available. I can tell you it is great. I mean, it really is. You know, sure, everybody who sells this stuff says it's great, but it truly, honestly is. And we have photographs and studies to prove the efficacy of this. So if you're interested, now's the time. Go ahead and pick some up. Put the bottles that you're not using in the refrigerator so it will stay longer. All right, let's see. We've got all these calls on the board now. Neil, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Hi, Dr. Perry. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a quick question about angiomas.
Yes.
My dear sister had them, just like you said, they were on her ears, her neck, and she didn't have any surgery. They just kind of cleared up on their own. But my question is, I have one in my temporal lobe in my brain. Are those things hereditary, you think, or...
Well, they could be, but that's an entirely different thing, Neil. That's not what we're talking about with the skin. With the skin, these things are just little collections of blood vessels. But if you have one in your brain, that's a whole different story. And I'm sure there is a hereditary component, but you hopefully are seeing a neurologist and what they do now I'm not an expert in this field, but if it's significant enough, they can embolize these things. Have you had a procedure like that?
Left it alone. It did bleed, though. I had a bleed.
And oh, okay.
After that, nothing. So I've been lucky.
All right. Well, make sure that you follow up with your neurologist and have good care. But no, that's not what we're talking about with the skin. Those are they share a name, angiomas, but those are what you're talking about, a real AV malformation, arteriovenous malformations in the brain. And these little things in the skin are just nuisances. But I wish you the best, Neil. Thank you for the call. Jane, what can I do for you? What is your wrinkle?
Yes, hi. I just turned 70 in June. And
happy birthday.
Thank you so much. It was a hard one.
I imagine. Sure. They all are after about 20.
Well, I have very deep vertical wrinkles above my lip. I'm not a smoker. I've never been a smoker. I don't use a straw particularly often. But I went to a dermatologist. I also went to a plastic surgeon, and he suggested that I do what is that permanent thing that the permanent injection?
Belafil?
Silicone.
Ooh,
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I hope you didn't do it.
No, I didn't.
Good.
But what can I do that will, you know, I just don't like it. I look very young for my age. People think I'm in my 50s, and I let them think that. But the lip thing, that gives it away.
Okay, so Jane, I'm going to talk a little bit about silicone. I actually saw a patient last Monday in my Manhattan office who had silicone injected into her cheek on one side, and it's kind of this hard, mushy mass, and she's probably listening tonight. Hello. But I told her there's not much we can do if you have silicone injected into your face, and we have to be very careful because at any time in your life, the silicone can get infected. And I like to tell the story. It's not a good story, but when I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a woman who came in, and she had silicone injected all over her face and her cheeks, and she developed an infection distant in her body somewhere else, and the bacteria spread and infected the silicone in her cheek, and we actually had to remove her entire cheek and do what's called a microsurgical free tissue transfer, a big operation. And boy, I'll tell you, that made such an impact on me. I saw that it's a rule in medicine, in surgery, that we need, if we're going to put something in the body, it should either be temporary or be able to be retrieved. And that pretty much is a rule for almost anything in medicine. So if we put a breast implant in, we can take it out. If we put a chin implant in, we can take it out. If you put silicone in, you can't take it out. It's permanent. So I advise you all the listeners out there, not to have silicone injected. Technically, it's illegal. Technically, it's illegal, but there have not been prosecutions, to my knowledge, recently anyway, for injecting. But there is something else that's also permanent that I think is almost as bad, and that's called Belafil. I'm sorry to say, this is FDA approved. It's out there. It's a methyl methacrylate material that's plastic in a collagen base, two of the worst things I can think of to have injected into your face. It's out there. They advertise it as a permanent filler, and I don't advise that. But what I do advise for you, Jane, is the use of a temporary filler. So when I approach wrinkles like what you have, in 2018, it's the temporary fillers like Restylane or Juvederm or one of those things, which they're really good, Jane. What I do is I numb you up like a dentist does. So hopefully you don't feel anything. Sometimes you do, but usually you don't. And then I inject each and every one of those wrinkles. And if they're really deep, it's going to take two or even three treatments to get you to the point where you look in the mirror and say, wow, and hopefully you will. If we try and do deep wrinkles in one treatment session, that's when you get the distortion of tissue, the duck-like lips, the funny-looking women that walk around the Upper East Side of Manhattan and in Beverly Hills and are on television. They're all out there, and it's because of unartistic, and super aggressive either plastic surgeons, dermatologists, or in some case, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of other doctors out there and even nurses and others that are injecting things into the face. But, Jane,
I will definitely come and see you because, I like the way you think. I like the way you approach every procedure. And, when I heard silicone, I just said, okay, not going back there.
Yeah, you do not want silicone. Now, one of the other things, sometimes people say, I had someone earlier this week in my New Jersey office, and I had done a CO2 laser on her in 2004, and she came back, with so many wrinkles on her face because she lives basically on the beach, and she doesn't use sunscreen like I've tried to tell her for 20 years, that's what she does. So she said, I don't want the fillers because I don't want to come back at once a year and have the fillers. She's probably listening too. Hello. A lot of my patients listen to the radio show. So she told me she wanted something more permanent. And we talked again about doing a second laser procedure on her. I did one in 2004. And I think we're going to be doing a facelift for the jowls and the bands in the neck. But then for the wrinkles around the mouth, it'll either be a laser or dermabrasion, which work, dermabrasion is an old procedure and that works very well also. So some people want, they don't want any surgery. They just want the procedures. Let's go in, have something. I'll see you next year. We'll do it again. And others say, no, we're going to have surgery, and I don't want those non-invasive things. But the non-invasives dwarf the invasives now. 6.5 million people last year had Botox. I think it's 1.65 million people had fillers, like we're talking about, Jane. And only about 120,000 people had facelifts. And that's a little curious because it's such a great procedure. But, you know, I guess not everyone loves having surgery as much as I like operating.
Well, where can I see you in Long Island? I know you mentioned New Jersey, but do you have an office in Long Island as well?
I think if I had an office in Long Island, my wife would divorce me at this point. I've got an office in Manhattan on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay.
And I've got an office in Central New Jersey. So happy to see you. It's right across from Saks Fifth Avenue if you've ever been there.
Okay, yes.
So I'm happy to see you there. So,
all right.
Jane, thank you so much. You know, maybe the producer can give you the phone number. I'll give it to you. It's 212-753-1820. So thanks so much. And I do hope to see you. But I do want to get one more phone call in. We've got about 1 minute for Rose. Rose, what can I do for you? What's your wrinkle? Are you there, Rose? Did we lose Rose?
Okay,
maybe Rose.
Cool.
There you are. Go ahead, Rose. Talk to me.
Hi, doctor. I was diagnosed with superficial. I had a tiny red mark on the cheek, and it was suggested that she burn it off or liquid nitrogen. What would be your suggestion if I went to your office?
Okay, so now this sounds like it might be either an actinic keratosis or a skin cancer. What did she tell you it was?
It was precancer.
Yeah, so that's an actinic keratosis. That's a whole different story. Let the dermatologist, let her biopsy it and let her treat it either with liquid nitrogen or, you know, not a laser or anything like that. Liquid nitrogen worked well. All right, we've got to get, you know, out of the studio. They're kicking me out. So I'm sorry I couldn't answer your question, but call next week again, Rose, and let's get into that in a little more detail. I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. Thanks so much for great engineering. We'll see everybody next week at 6 o'clock. And, you know, I could have had 2 hours tonight. Why not? All right, have a great week. Stay safe. Bye-bye now.
This program was sponsored by Dr. Perry Skin Industries, LLC. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.